We're not talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by the First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre, Oklahoma. Sorry, I'm still a little groggy, so bear with me. I'll do my best here. Let's check out some temperatures on this beautiful Thursday. 62 at Hollis, 55 at Arnett, 54 at Slapout, 58 at the May Ranch, Lahoma. You're 55 out here in the Panhandle, Texas, more of the same. 63 at Odell, 60 at Wellington, and 56 at Lipscomb. What do you guys think? You ready for the snow Saturday morning? They say it's coming. You'll see. I hope it's a really wet one and stays on the ground. It ain't going to stay on the ground very long. Our ground's pretty warm, but it'll be nice. They're talking a half inch of moisture in parts of western Oklahoma and eastern Texas, Panhandle, heavier amounts to the east and of moisture. We'll see what's happening. Well, let's see what happened overnight in our big old world of agriculture. Soybeans and grain futures rose in overnight trading after the U.S. President Donald Trump said he will delay tariffs on automobiles for a month. And I will add something that was breaking a while ago. The tariffs on Mexican products has been delayed for another month. So that will be calm for now until things get worked out. I guess the Mexico president and President Trump had a little phone call this morning and made things a little better. But I got an interesting story on Mexico coming up here later on in the show. The Trump administration has placed 25% tariffs on all goods from Mexico and Canada and increased them on Chinese items to 20%. Commodity and equity markets plunged as the three countries, the U.S. biggest trading partners, imposed their own levies on some U.S. goods. Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick, I guess that's how you say that, said on a Fox Business about 18 hours after the U.S. imposed its tariffs on Canada and Mexico that the president could scale those back, and it looks like he did on Mexico today. That caused equity and commodity markets to rebound. The White House then said yesterday that automobiles coming into the U.S. would be exempt from tariffs. Soybeans for May delivery gained 9 cents to 10.20¾ a bushel on the Chicago Board of Trade overnight. Soy meal was up 3.20 to 3.03 a short ton, and soy oil added 0.23 cents to 43.22 cents a pound. Corn futures rose 2 cents to 4.57¾ a bushel. Wheat futures for May delivery were up 3 cents to 5.51¼ a bushel, while Kansas City futures gained 3 cents to 5.60. Today is Thursday, and I got some ethanol reports for you. Ethanol output rose to the highest level in almost a month last week, while inventories declined slightly, according to data from the EIA, which is the Energy Information Administration for you non-oilfield people. Their production rose to an average of 1.093 million barrels a day through February the 28th in this report. That's up from 1.081. In the Midwest, average output was at 1.04 million barrels a day. Gulf Coast production increased to 21,000 barrels a day. That was pretty much the rest of the Rocky Mountain, West Coast, and who else? Gulf Coast, all of them kind of remained the same pretty much. Ethanol stockpiles, meanwhile, fell for the first time in 3 weeks to 27.289 million barrels, down from 27.571 million the previous week. Extremely dry weather is forecast for the southern plains, where hard red winter wheat is growing. According to the National Weather Service, red flag and high wind warnings have been issued for the region. Looks like humidity would drop as low as 9%. So any fire that develops will catch and spread quickly, according to the National Weather Service. Winter storms will rumble through most of Nebraska, South Dakota, and that's about it. It's springtime weather. You never know what's going to happen. You never know what's around the corner. Let's see here. Yeah, let's go ahead and touch on this thing from Mexico. Even though they put everything on hold for until April, Mexico's president said on Tuesday the country will respond to U.S. tariffs with a 25% tariff on the U.S. goods, but she will hold off on announcing that until this coming Sunday, which that's not going to happen now. But I just thought this was interesting about Mexico with their economy and why that's why she's probably holding off. President Donald Trump followed through with his threats on the imposing 25% tariff on most imports from Canada and Mexico. He said here, Mexico's president said the country will also respond with a 25% tariff on U.S. goods, but hold off till Sunday. Like I said prior, their story's kind of repeating itself. But can Mexico afford to retaliate? This is one of the questions asked by USDA chief economist Seth Meyer during a commodity classic earlier this week. The reason is Mexico's economy is struggling due to a number of factors, which includes a large informal sector, high budget deficit, and unstable infrastructure. According to the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas, Mexico's GDP grew only 0.9% year over year in the fourth quarter of 24, after expanding 2% in 23 and 4.6% in 2022. Economic growth slowed mainly due to lower investment, slowing consumption, and a contracting energy sector. The Dallas Fed said lower investment and consumption was the main driver behind that slow growth. Investment contributed 3 percentage points less to the GDP in 2024. The other issue, Mexico is extremely reliant on demand from U.S. exporting $41.9 billion worth of ag products to the U.S., in 2023, Mexico accounted for 16.3% of the U.S. ag exports and 23.3% of the U.S. ag imports. Mexico is the largest source of horticulture imports to the U.S., supplying 63% of vegetables and 47% of fruit and nuts in 2023. The top ag exports from Mexico to the U.S. included beer, tomatoes, tequila, avocados, strawberries, raspberry, and peppers. The other important piece is Mexico is now the U.S.'s top ag export destination. According to Kristen Swanson, chief economist for the National Corn Growers Association, Mexico is a huge destination for U.S. corn. More than 40% of the U.S. corn exported last year went to Mexico. Not only does that mean the U.S. relies on Mexico, but Mexico is also reliant on the U.S. to do the strong demand. The other key piece here we need to think about in the on a Mexico situation, you know, they retaliate corn because it's so important to consumers in the country. Swanson told Farm Journal during a commodity classic this week, and it's such a big part of their diets and consumption. It's a commodity they can consume way more of what they can produce. So they're going to have to get it somewhere. The bigger picture, according to the USDA's Economic Research Service, between 1993, the year before NAFTA agreement, and 2023, U.S. ag exports to Mexico expanded at a compound annual rate of 7% yearly, while agriculture imports from Mexico grew at a rate of 9.7. With the economic recovery in the United States and Mexico that followed the pandemic, U.S. ag exports to Mexico increased at 15.7% between 2020 and 2023. and imports from Mexico grew at 11.3. In 2023, however, U.S. ag exports to Mexico decreased by 0.3% compared to the other one. So, man, it's one of those dang if you do, dang if you do, don't kind of deals. And I think Mexico and Canada are very big consumers of ag products made in the U.S. And we're very big consumers of their products used in there. And, yes, there's politics involved in it. And I heard some remarks yesterday from some different folks on social media and on Ag News websites, you know, talking about, you know, the import of the tariffs are going to hurt the prices. You know, I don't know about you guys, but the prices were hurting way before December, January. They were already hurting. Cotton, wheat. All of them, corn, they've all been hurting. Are the tariffs going to hurt us? I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. I really, really, truly believe in my heart, and this is not being a trying to bring politics on my show, but I really think between President Trump and Rollins, that Ag Secretary Rollins, I think they know what's going on out here. Matter of fact, I just had a conversation with a person right before the show that brought it up, and I agree with him, and I had that in my mind already. I think they know what they're doing. It may be a little rough here at the start, I guess, but we're just going to have to wait it out and see. I might be wrong, but I really think they know the situation farmers are in right now. Our inputs are stupid high. That's the main thing right now. Period. Our inputs are crazy high. You guys can't dispute that with me one bit. And the prices of, yes, the cattle prices are great right now, but sooner or later that's going to affect the consumer. And then they're going to back off on that, and then things will go backwards on the cattle deal. And yes, it's great right now if you're a cow-calf producer, but I think I said it last week on the show, not all farmers are cattle producers, okay? You remember 20 years ago, we could probably get a pretty decent farm truck for $20,000-$25,000. A good farm truck today, brand new, without bells and whistles on it, $70,000-$80,000. But everything else is what we're getting in our pocketbook. All we're after now as a farmer is to produce more per acre. A lot more double cropping going on now than there used to be, but I don't know if that's the answer, because the rest of the world that the U.S. has showed with technology and taught how to farm, they're doing pretty good too. Now they're taking some of that market away from us. There are so many pieces to the puzzle that it's not even funny. So if you can help me with those puzzles, I'll listen. Let's take a Oklahoma Farm Bureau break, brought to you by the Roger Mills County Farm Bureau, and be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
I was impressed that he came to my barn. That is what I like, is service. Service says a lot. I have not even been to his office. My time is very valuable to me. I'm very busy. It's a 35-minute drive from my house to Mangum. I don't want to drive down there every time I need something. That's going to kill at least 2 hours of my day, and I don't have that kind of time to spare. So when I get in business with somebody like this that gives me that kind of service, I respect the job that they're doing, and I appreciate the service that they're providing to me. I'm ecstatic. I'm very glad. It worked out like it was supposed to. You know, I don't think I could have picked a better insurance agent. My name's Bandy Silk. My family and I farm and ranch in the Delhi community. I'm a fifth-generation farmer and rancher. I'm glad I've contacted Mickey Lively for my insurance needs.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
It helps to work with someone who's been down the same road you're traveling. Someone who knows what you're up against and what you're going through. When it comes to farmers and ranchers, that's us. That's who we are. Our lenders know ag inside and out because we're producers too. We approach it like a partnership. We want to put ag producers in position to be successful. We're very laid back and easy to deal with. And people seem to like that. We think you'll like it too. I'm Marty Maddox. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend farmers and ranchers a helping hand. Member FDIC.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
A bolt breaks on a spring tooth, a harrow, or a chisel. Your work in the field stops. Most people have two choices. Either use baling wire as a temporary fix or drive 15 miles into town. There's a third option that'll get you back to work in only a few minutes. We'll bring a bolt bin to your place, and we'll keep it stocked for you. Camrock Supply. It's on South Main in Elk City next to Fred's Steakhouse. The website is camrocksupply.com. Staying supplied keeps you in the field, getting your work done.
You can buy parts anywhere, but the people at our store are different than people at other stores. And if they're not, we're going to make them different. They should be more knowledgeable. They should be more friendly. They should be more customer-oriented. They should be part of the community. We pride ourselves of doing business with people. You can buy parts anywhere. It's the people that make the difference.
We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need. Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. More parts for more cars.
The Big 3 Model Year Clearance Sale is happening now at all seven Lipscomb dealerships. Great big limited time savings on new GM, Ford, and Stellantis vehicles, including special 0% financing and discounts of over $11,000 off select Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, Ford, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, or Ram vehicles at Lipscomb in Wichita Falls, Burke Burnett, Bowie, Sayre, Elk City, and online at LipscombDealerships.com. Save more in the country. Lipscomb, good people, great deals since 1979.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Miami, Texas, here's your ag weather update. 55 degrees, humidity's 35, dew point's 28. The winds are out of the south at 41 with wind gusts up to 52 right now. Peak wind gust 56, 28 100ths of an inch of rain so far this month. No red flag or sub-freezing minutes. 8-inch soil temperature, 45 degrees. Is that right? Let's see here. Let me see. Get this wind deal up. I knew it was supposed to be windy today, but I didn't realize it was going to be quite that windy. Let's check out what's going on. Yeah, I guess so. 36, 40 mile an hour. Okay, we'll go with it. All right, let's see here. Let's check out the Lipscomb Dealerships Grain Market Update. Hey, you guys need to drive over to Sayre and check out the Lipscomb Ford dealership over there. And I drove by there, day before yesterday. There's some good-looking trucks sitting on that lot. All it takes is money. So, all right, let's see here. Let me refresh this. All right, here we go. All right. Looks a little better than it did at 11 o'clock. It was all red at 11 o'clock. Corn, March, 452, up 11 and three quarters. Soybeans, March, 1017, 19, up 19 and a quarter. Let's skip March. Let's go with May. Sorry. May, soybeans, 1029, up 17 and a half. Soybean meal, May, 305.80, up $6. July, 312.20, up 5.30. Soybean oil is up for May at 43.29, up 30. Hard red winter wheat is up for May at 5.67.10. And see, it's at 5.67. It's up 10 and three quarters. July is 5.81, up 10. Cotton's even up a little bit. Still ain't good. July, 66.55, up 168. Crude oil, West Texas style, 66.38, up 7 cents. Natural gas, first time I've seen it, red in a while, but it's still a good price. April, 4.27. The NASDAQ and the S&P and the Dow are all in the red. And let's check out live cattle. April, 196.45, down 10. June is actually up at 192.77, up 7. August is 191, even, down 27. Feeders for March, 274.20, down 190. April, 274.57, down 150. And May is 273.90, down 117. I think it's time for a Jimmy show. And the Jimmy that I'm thinking about is the Cotton King, because I want to hear about his trip live on the radio to Lubbock, Texas. I guess they went down there and got them some learning on some cotton. So, yeah, I think it's about time. I don't know what he's doing Monday, but I might have him come in Monday and we'll do a Jimmy Clark, Jimmy Rhodes show, see what's happening with Rhodes. Because one thing about Mr. Rhodes, he wouldn't make a very good politician because he talks too much about what's on his mind without a filter on it. But he tells it like it is. You guys got to admit that, whether you like the man or not, he tells it like it is. And he ain't no dummy most of the time. But, I think it's time for a Jimmy Rhodes show. So we'll get him on here and see what he thinks. Because I'm not lying. I haven't talked to very many farmers. And I'm talking the farm side, not the ranching side. I have not talked to very many farmers in the past couple months that I'm getting a positive vibe off of, if that makes sense. It's a rough time. The last 2 or 3 years have been rough for farming. But I just I don't know what to do about it. I wish I could win the lottery and go around to all my buddies and give them some money and tell them to put a cover crop on their land and take their wife to Jamaica this summer. I don't know what to tell you. It's just, I feel, because I'm in the same boat. It ain't no better for me than it is for you guys. I do have a radio show where I can talk about it, but that doesn't help me financially on the farming side, that is. All right, let's see here. What do we got? Oh, I wanted to share this with you guys. The current updated map of the U.S. Drought Monitor come out today. And southwestern Oklahoma is moved into a D1 drought monitor. The rest of western Oklahoma, Panhandle, all that, you're in the yellow, so you're in a D0, D-O, D0. And Texas Panhandle, you're all in the yellow. There is a little bit of red starting to show up a lot in Texas, but it's the same general areas that it usually is. Not much else except up there in the Nebraska Panhandle and eastern Wyoming, some red showing up there. But it looks like the Mississippi Valley and the Mississippi Valley and the Ohio Valley, you're all got white land under you, so you're doing pretty good. Florida, East Coast, South Carolina, in that area, a little bit of drought coming in. So hopefully these little storms keep coming through. We haven't got a whole lot of rain. Any runoff rain, but these little rains, it'll help a big time. So that's going on there. And then what do we got here? Oh, I wanted to I didn't get to share it last week. I don't know what happened, but there was 7,622 calves and yearlings and 245 cows and bulls for a total 7,867 head went through Beaver Stockyards Tuesday. We'll go over some of the total numbers. Bred heifers, 29 head, average weight, 867, brought $1,738 a piece. Bulls, 21 heads, average weight, 1,772, brought $2,938 a head. Bull calves, they have 112 bull calves, average weight, 512, brought $1,679. Looks like around $227, $228 was the average price. Cows. Whoa. Here we go. 198 cows sold, average weight, 1,100, average price, $164, $1,807 a head. Heifer calves, 204 of them, 570 average weight, 290.66 average price, 1657 ahead. Heifer, yearling, let's see here, where must have had a bunch of them. Yep. 2,514 heifer yearlings, 699 average weight, 266.16 average price, 1861.06 per head. They had a few 10 pairs up there that averaged 29.70. And steer calves, 71 head, 554 weight, 292.12 per 100 weight, 1617 per head. Let's see here. Yearlings, there was got to be a bunch of them. I got to scroll through this whole report. Yearling steers, 4,701 head, average weight, 841, average price, 259.82 per 100 weight, 21.85.68 cents per head average. Let's see who what the highest one was in there. I could pick that one out pretty quick, maybe. Here we go. Holy moly. A yearling steer, five of them, averaged 1,055, brought 231, few dollars short of $2,500 a piece. Get some of that. All right, let's go ahead and take a Oklahoma Farm Bureau break, brought to you by the Roger Mills County Farm Bureau. We'll be right back after this break.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Kent Watkins here with SEI Agritech in Elk City. It's time to gear up for corn planting season. Our Golden Harvest brand corn seed is now available, so call today and get your order in. Don't miss out on the best yields at the lowest possible price. Also, if you're needing bigger amounts of ag chemicals, we can ship it to you straight from the warehouse. And remember, you can't beat our prices. That's SEI Agritech, your partner in productivity. Visit us today on South Randall in Elk City. Follow us on Facebook or give us a call.
From pump to pivot, Valley Water Experts can provide efficient turnkey pumping solutions for large or small operations. From identifying a source to remote management, Valley Water Experts have you covered with the most efficient and cost-effective solutions for all your water management challenges. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com. That's Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
Save 30 to 40% on Firestone Ag Tires through May 31st. Firestone Ag Tires are 30 to 40% off through May 31. Blair Tire and Feed is helping you get ready for planting season by helping you save money. Here's what you need to know right now. You can save 30 to 40% on Firestone Ag Tires at Blair Tire and Feed until the last day of May. Right now, get the tires you need for planting season and save money. For contact information, Google Blair Tire and Feed. Or just drive to Blair and get your tires.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, March 3rd. 2,618 head were sold. 8 head of steers at 438 brought 415. 3 at 548 brought 322.50. 10 at 575 brought 332.50. 13 at 793 brought 274. 25 at 901 brought 253. 31 at 1,090 brought 225. 7 head of heifers at 541 brought 318. 12 at 576 brought 306. 23 at 667 brought 275. 28 at 733 brought 258. 24 at 798 brought 245.25. 53 at 805 brought 243.50. 20 at 854 brought 240.50. Butcher cows were 89 to 154. Butcher bulls brought 131 to 167. Bred cows 1400 to 2450. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma. To consign, call Brandon Hickey 580-497-6.
Every farmer and rancher knows nutrition is key when it comes to getting the best out of every animal. High Pro Feeds has built their reputation on providing the best nutrition possible. Their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. High Pro is a name you know and trust. Buy the best and get the results you deserve. Hobart Farm and Garden is your trusted High Pro Feeds dealer, providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. Visit them online at HobartFarmandGarden.com.
I open new accounts, CDs, IRAs, help our customers with online banking, order debit cards, anything that has to do with checking accounts, savings accounts, opening those up for new customers or helping our existing customers with any issues or things that they might have with an account. They want customer service. They want someone to just know who they are, and they want someone that they can trust. I'm Tori Ashpaw, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust at Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hi, welcome back. Let's find somebody up there in northwestern Oklahoma to brag on today here. Uh-oh, wrong button. I'm really good at that. Change. There we go. Let's head to Beaver, see what's happening up there in Beaver. 55 degrees, dew point's 28, humidity's 35, the winds are out of south at 25 with wind gusts up to 35, 41/100 of an inch so far in the last 10 days, 3-day average, 4-inch bare, soil temperature 46 degrees, sunset at 6:40, blowing dust today, 68, breezy and 39 tonight, tomorrow mostly sunny with the wind switching out of the west. Coming out of the north, 14 to 16 with wind gust up to 25. It is spring. It's going to be windy. All right, let's see here. Speaking of weather, much of the west, southwest, and upper Midwest could use more moisture. Beef and dairy producers and their veterinarians might want to do some contingency planning with shaping up this dry spring. As Eric Snodgrass looks 6 weeks out through the end of March, he doesn't like the weather pattern he's seeing for shaping up for the spring. Eric is a big-time meteorologist, and he was speaking up at Kansas City here a while back. Various levels of mild to moderate drought have dogged much of the upper Midwest, the West, and the Southwest since last fall, and the outlook is for more of the same, he's saying. I was looking at his map on this website. I'm on Drovers, by the way, if you want to check it out. Kansas, most of, take the eastern third off and go west, and northwestern Oklahoma, it's not looking terrible for the next 6 weeks, but everybody else, it's just not good. Colorado looks wet, but Nebraska, eastern Kansas, Missouri, central Oklahoma, eastern Oklahoma, and a lot of Texas is not looking, having favorable moisture according to his predictions. Because we all know weather is just a prediction. I'm concerned about the way the central United States and the western Corn Belt in particular are going to be dealing with the risk of drought building into spring. And Snodgrass told livestock producers and farmers attending the top producer summit in Kansas City last week. History shows the drought tends to beget drought is six of the past 10 years with a really dry fall. Snodgrass says the spring to follow was also dry. The current U.S. drought monitor echoes his observations. Snodgrass spells out what usually happens in late winter to create the moisture livestock producers and farmers need for U.S. grain and livestock production. As the jet stream moves across the Pacific Ocean, it typically splits and sweeps into the West Coast from two positions, one from the northern North Pacific Ocean and the other from the southern North Pacific Ocean, close to Hawaii. The two portions of the jet stream usually then scream across the U.S. western mountain ranges, picking up moisture. Then they deposit it in parts of the West, Southwest, and Midwest before moving to the East Coast and exiting the U.S. and Maine. This year, the portion of the jet stream that normally comes from Hawaii has veered from its usual course and possibly even stalled. One indicator of this that happening, Snodgrass said, is the drop-off in the ocean temperatures in the Baja of California and the Gulf of Alaska. The result is dry Arctic air has been moving in portions of the United States. For some parts of the United States, the cold Arctic air has brought snow along with it, but the snow holds little moisture that would help alleviate the frozen dry soils. We have some deep snows in areas right now, but it's only being maybe 0.2 of an inch of liquid in it, he explains. That's bad news for livestock producers and farmers who need a full profile of soil moisture going into the spring, and you don't have one. Similar concerns were voiced by Drew Lerner, founder and president of World Weather Incorporated, during the top producer meeting. If we continue bringing these cold shots of air through North America, we will have a below normal precipitation bias in the western states as we go forward through the spring planting season, he explained. That's not the meteorologist's explanation from the east and the southeast. Much of those regions have an overabundance of moisture. Recently, Lamar's and Snodgrass agree those areas are likely to continue to have plenty of moisture. What else has he got to say? Let's see here. Right now, he said, both of them said, believe a negative phase of what scientists call the Pacific Decantal Oscillation. I think that's how you say that. Let's go with abbreviation, PDO. Could be primary contributor to the ongoing drought and higher temperatures by April. So we'll see. The number one thing I'm praying for right now, he says, is the April 4th blizzard. I want a foot of snow, Snodgrass told producers and farmers, many of them whom laugh. Snodgrass laughed too and added, you'll hate me for about a week, then you'll love me the rest of the May. And that's pretty much true fact about weather people. One day you're the hero, and the next day you're the zero. So pretty interesting stuff. But like I said, it don't look too bad for northwestern Oklahoma. Northwestern Oklahoma did in the panhandle. You guys all did in the Texas panhandle. You did pretty good last year. So hopefully that returns. Maybe you move it just a little bit east here a little bit, and we'll get some in here. Because spring planting, people are already thinking about it. Where are we, end of the month, probably planting some corn if you're planting it. We'll see. All right, I want to talk to you guys about something I hadn't talked to in a long time. With all the riprap about tariffs and the economy and inflation and all this stuff, prices of beef, prices of this, prices of eggs. I can't help you on the eggs. All I can do is tell you to buy local from a local backyard chicken raisers, layers. Get your eggs from them. They're not taking, I hope they're not taking advantage of the high prices of eggs. That's your best bet. And I want to remind people, when you get your eggs from somebody that's locally raised, I would request they not be cleaned. Get the dirty eggs with the chicken poop on it and all the stuff, and they'll last a lot longer. If you Google this, you can Google this and check out this information yourself. If you wash the eggs, you wash a membrane or a coating that's on those eggs, and they won't stay as fresh as if you just leave the poop on them. I mean, it sounds kind of nasty, but it's the truth. And don't put them in the refrigerator until you do clean them, and then you're going to use them. That's just I don't know the exact, I think it's 30 days longer that you can keep those eggs. Google that to make sure, and do that and make your eggs last a lot longer and not take any chances of them being any bad. But with cattle prices the way they are, a lot of our local producers that produce cattle, calves, steers, heifers, whatever, to be butchered and sold to individuals around here, the prices are going to slowly go up a little bit. They've got to. There's only been, I've only known producers like Hickey, Tucker, Ford, Taylor. There's more out there have raised their prices only once maybe in the last 5 or 6 years, but they're losing. They're probably going to be losing a little money because of the way the market is right now if they don't raise their prices right now. And so they're probably going to do that. And it's a good time to buy from local producers, because with the farming and the ranching, the economics are not really good right now. So a lot of people are diversifying and doing other things off their farms. Like me, I'm raising tomatoes and I'm changing my crop rotation around a little bit, and I do sell beef off the farm, to people. So they're diversifying. So help them out. I'm not saying don't go to the grocery store and buy beef. That's not what I'm saying. I got a really good friend that owns a grocery store. So that's not what I'm saying. But help out these producers around here. Don't go to the city and buy the big blocks of beef from the big stores up there and stuff like that. Help out the local producers. There's plenty of them around here that's got really good beef. And check out, get customer references from them and get the local. And it helps our economy with the processing, getting a local processed. You know what you're getting. You're getting American-raised beef off the farm. And then also, we have stores around here that sell locally raised beef. We got SEI Agritech down here on South Randall here. They've got grass-fed, grass-finished beef in their freezer. If you just want to buy pieces of, you know, a small box of beef or whatever, you don't want to buy a whole quarter or half. We got them Schneeburgers. Keith's Butcher Shop right here in Elk City. You know where Burns Flat, you can buy beef in there. We got Route 66 over at Sayre that's got Hickey beef in there. We got the processor at Bex there at Canute. And Sean's, all he's good for is German sausage. And I'm just kidding. I hope he's recovering well. He had open heart surgery, I believe. That's what he had. It was a bad deal. But we're praying for you, Ray. We hope you things get better. Down in Mangum, down at Mangum Feed Store, they've got beef they raise themselves that is grass-fed, grain-finished. Support your local stores around here. Support your local producers. And a lot of guys raise their own beef at their own farm for themselves. But if you get a chance to buy some locally raised beef, whether it's already finished, butchered up in the stores, or you can buy it by the quarter, half, or whole, please do support, because some of these guys with cattle are trying to diversify their deal. So if you hear anybody selling, looking on Facebook or Penny News or whatever, you see somebody and you can you got freezer room and you can afford to buy a quarter. It's tough. I know it's tough to buy a quarter beef or a half at a time. It's easier to go to the store, but overall, just save your quarters and nickels and put them in a piggy bank. And believe me, it's worth 30 or 40% savings to buy direct from the producers. So just giving you a heads up. I hadn't talked about it in a while, and I'm real adamant about letting everybody know that's the best way to get your beef. And if you had an experience that you didn't like with one beef, try another guy. And problems are really easily solved if you just think about it. All right, let's take Oklahoma Farm Bureau break. Brought to you by the Roger Mills County Farm Bureau, and we'll be right back after this.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Attention all arbor enthusiasts. Timber Oklahoma is hiring for bucket operators and ground hands in western Oklahoma. Bucket operators should have experience around electrical lines and can earn over $20 an hour based on experience. If you're a ground hand ready to chip limbs and operate chainsaws, start at $17 an hour or more based on experience. Travel is required, minimum 4 days a week. We provide performance pay and cover lodging while on the road. Call 580-732-3400 or email your resume or contact info to customercare@timberokla.com.
Well, I'll use myself as an example. I go in there, I need oil filters for my tractor or something like that. I'll get the oil filter, whatever I need, any greases for lubing everything up. If I need some electrical fittings or any type of nuts and bolts to fix something that's broke, I can get it there. Any penetrating oils, I mean, just anything that you need, we can get, we have, or we're going to get for you for any type of agriculture or oil field or just working on something around the house, whatever you need. The other three owners, myself, Ronnie Redd, Casey Miller, Brock Kalk, we're all local guys, been here almost all of our lives. We put back into the community. We love Elk City. When you buy through us, you're buying from somebody that's putting it back into the community instead of going to some big corporate office somewhere out of state. We invest back into schools. We sponsor stuff all the time, different sports and just whatever. Camrock is the name of the company. We've got what you need for your agriculture or oil field industry, whatever you need. It's 2111 South Main, Elk City, south of Fred's Steakhouse. Three local guys just looking to do business with our community. Fire!
Mowing season is around the corner. Are you ready? DJ's Rental and Sales is helping you get ready. During the month of March, they'll give you up to 20% off MSRP on the purchase of a new Hustler Pro Zero Turn or Cub Cadet Pro Series mower. Here's even better news. Buy two or three mowers and they'll give you 30% off. Choose from the Hustler X1 or larger models or the Pro Series Cub Cadets. Get ready at DJ's Rentals on South Main in Elk City. As a farmer or rancher, you're always looking for ways to save time and money. The Apache Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding in Visalia, Oklahoma will help you do just that. The Apache Hay Wagon eliminates 80 to 90% of hay waste with its unique design. It hauls multiple bales, saving you time and money. Go by Everett's Welding today and ask to see the Apache Hay Wagon. You'll be glad you did. You can also visit them online at everettswelding.com.
Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Price varies based on product and subscription plan.
Hey guys, let's talk ED because millions of men experience it, but not everyone can access or afford treatments like Viagra. Hims can help. Through Hims.com, you can access a full range of treatment options for ED through a 100% online process. To start your free online visit and save up to 95%, go to Hims.com/joy. HIMS.com/JOY.
The McIntyre Red Angus Partners in Progress Bull and Female Sale is Monday, March 31st at Sweetwater, featuring 20 registered age, advantage, and 50 yearling bulls. Also 20 registered open heifers, 50 commercial Red Angus first calf heifer pairs, and 60 commercial Red Angus open heifers. View the sale online at cci.live. For sale information, go to McIntyreRedAngus.com. A lot of great cattle are for sale near Sweetwater the last Monday in March. The McIntyre Red Angus Partners in Progress Bull and Female Sale is Monday, March 31st at 1 p.m. at Sweetwater.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Here's your Hobart Farm and Garden Ag Weather Update for southwestern Oklahoma. Mangum, 63, 32 dew point, 31 humidity. Winds are out of the south, southeast at 26 with wind gusts up to 33. 74 one-hundredths of an inch in the last 10 days. 52 is your three-day average four-inch bare soil temperature. Them days are getting longer. Sunset at 6:37. Matter of fact, we gained 70 minutes of daylight in the month of March. I seen that on social media. FYI, this weekend, time springs forward. Is that correct? Yep. I hate time change. Breezy, 66 today. Tonight, breezy, 46 for low. Mostly sunny, 73 degrees. Tomorrow, sunny. All right, the bull sales. Man, the new Penny News is out. You need to go get your new copy. All kinds of cool stuff going on in there. The Bexler Ranch sale is coming up March the 8th, which that's Saturday at 11 a.m. The Hobson Angus is March the 10th. That'll be Monday at 12 p.m. Harrison Cattle Company, we're getting closer. March 25th over there at Arapahoe. Out west of town here, it's big town of Sweetwater. McIntyre Red Angus is coming up March the 31st. And the Reds in the Heartland, April the 5th at 1 o'clock. And then what do we got? Tomorrow we got the Elk City livestock auction. If you remember listening to Brandon Tuesday on the show, he had some really nice young pears coming in tomorrow. So if you're needing some pears, might be a good opportunity to hop in there and grab you some. I was looking through the Penny News and the Today in Ag page, and you know, Jerry Nine always writes a column put in there, and I wanted to share this one paragraph with you guys. Because it is getting closer to being that time where we're way more active on the farming side, a lot more equipment rolling, blah, blah, blah. So it often takes a disaster or problem for a lot of us to remind ourselves and our families of things never to do. This past week, a man entered a large grain bin that seemed to be clogged up and not augering grain out. I don't know the circumstances, but evidently the auger was still going. The problem is once you get it unclogged with the auger running, it is easy to suck you down towards the auger and not be able to get out. So Jerry encourages all farmers to remind your kids and family to never do this with the auger running. God has been good to me as I've made a lot of stupid mistakes that should have ended my life. I guess he's not through with me yet, or at least I hope not. So remember farm safety with all the equipment rolling around, backing up. Skid loader. I love skid loaders. I think cell phones and skid loaders change the world, in my opinion. But you're so blind behind you sometimes. Oh, if you ever drive up on somebody that's using a skid loader and they're loading something or unloading or digging or something, please walk way around them and make sure and get in front of them and get their attention so they know that you're there. It would be just give skid loaders a lot of room. They're blind in the back there. And that last skid loader that my son had that I was using here, at home, it had a backup camera in it, but I'm telling you, it was worthless. I couldn't see anybody walking up on me if I wanted to. So just give a lot of room for people on skid loaders and things will be better if you do. Okay, let's see here. What do we want to do? What do I want to do here? Oh, I always like to brag a little bit on people, even some farmers and ranchers, probably don't know some of these numbers or don't even think about it. I don't think about it. Only reason why I think about it, it comes across my news desk. And it gets me to thinking. But this was from Farm Journal, and it was a pretty good article on 2024 U.S. meat exports created 59 cents in value for corn and $1.46 for soybeans. People don't think about how farmers, cattle, our ranchers, how all these crops and this beef, how this all coincides together, helping each other out. So this is pretty sweet article here. U.S. Meat Export Federation released a study this week showing pork exports accounted for more than 100 million bushels of soybean demand last year. For corn, 525 million bushels were consumed by beef and pork exported in 2024. That's a big word I'm using there, exported. I'm not talking about right here. Corn was 59 cents. Soybeans was $1.46. Pork exports smashed records last year, and beef export value climbed 5% from 2023 with robust red meat exports to finish 2024. A new study by the U.S. Meat Export Federation showed the economic impact that had on corn and soybean demand. The study, which was conducted by Jude Group, was unveiled during the live taping of the U.S. Farm Report during the Commodity Classic earlier this week. The show's 30% of the pork produced in the U.S. is exported, and exporting more than 14% of the U.S. beef production is consumed outside the U.S., exporting corn through U.S. beef and pork. You're getting there, right? It's in there. It's that stuff we eat, that beef and that pork, that corn and stuff's in there. Beef and pork exports accounted for 521.1 million bushels of corn. Beef and pork exports accounted for 3.04 million tons of DDGS usage, equating to $525 million. Beef and pork exports contribute an estimated total economic impact of 14%. And then pork exports accounted for 100.7 million bushels of U.S. soybean usage. Pork exports contribute to an estimated total economic impact of 13.2% of bushel value, or $1.46 for corn. Interesting, huh? Let's see here. What else we got here? Henner says bottom line is that the corn and soybean industry are critical in the U.S. Meat Export Federation's efforts to grow global demand for U.S. red meat. world demand for protein has never been better. When you think about what we do as an organization, we're trying to build profit opportunities in the agriculture business, not specifically one sector or another, but just red meat in total, he says. And it's for the impact on everywhere we do and every, as a, all right, hang on, as it has an impact on everything we do in agriculture, whether it's a corn grower, the soybean grower, or so forth. There you have it. All right, hope you guys have a great Thursday. Don't be popping your umbrella up if it starts raining later, which is not, but it'll blow, it'll lift you up like, what is that lady in a Chitty Chitty Bang Bang? Julie Roberts or whatever her name is. It's the Flying Nun. All right, I better stop before I dig myself a really big hole. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by the First National Bank of Trust of Sayre in Elk City, America. God bless.